Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, some years ago, my husband, Mike, who you briefly met, and I made a big Sunday dinner that the whole family was looking forward to eating. Our two boys, who are not really boys anymore, Nicholas and Richard, shared the responsibility of setting the table. So through complicated mathematical calculations, the boys determined a fair way of dividing the labor involved in this extremely onerous task. But when we sat down to eat, we quickly realized that there were no plates on the table. Forks, knives, glasses, yes, but no plates. I looked at the boys looked at me, and after an uncomfortable silence, Nick said, "We couldn't work out a fair way to divide the work if the plates were included." So we left them out, which I guess had a kind of internal logic to it. If only, I thought, there was an ombudsman of life, someone charged with the responsibility to take complaints for everything that is not fair in this world. It would be a pretty busy job, don't you think? I know my children would be sending numerous strongly worded letters to the office of the Ombuds of Life with the subject heading, "Not Fair." Which, of course, is one of the themes in our gospel text today. Jesus tells us the story of a man who had two beloved sons, but so different from one another. And these boys grew up and worked on their father's farm as they were expected to, but one day the younger son, filled to the brim with the day-in, day-out sameness that was choking the life out of him, came to his father, babbling with excitement, bubbling over, and he wanted to present a new plan. "Listen, Dad," the young man said, "I have a great opportunity. I hear that there are amazing things available to young men just like me in another place that is definitely not here. And I want to go. I want to go so bad. But I need to pay my way, so could you please give me what will be mine eventually anyway?" Now the father lived in a time and a place where sons did not do this, and he was shocked and hurt by his son's request. The only thing he could say to his boy in response was, "You wish I was dead?" Because the only time that sons received their inheritance was upon their father's death. This thing that the boy was asking was impossible. But he did it. To the absolute astonishment to everyone near and far, the father sold some ancient land and handed over a pile of silver coins to his son. And his son left home to find his fortune in the world, leaving his family behind, his father, his mother, and his older brother. And do you think that that older brother cheerfully waved as the younger son skipped down the road into his new life? No. That brother was at home in his room at his desk writing a strongly worded letter to the Ombuds of Life with the subject heading, "Not Fair." But it's no joke, is it? Life is not fair. Every one of us in this beautiful sanctuary knows this already. We don't need to hear this parable to learn that life is not fair. Whether we learned it that afternoon that the doctor office called, or the night our spouse said, "You need to sit down before I tell you this." Or the morning we knew the sun was blazing, but we couldn't feel its warmth. We've all learned this lesson already. The theologian Frederick Buechner says that the gospel must be bad news before it can be good news to us, because Jesus Christ invites us to acknowledge the full truth of the human experience, which sometimes includes great pain, often completely undeserved. This parable always reminds me of when I had the privilege of serving a 3-point rural charge, and how I agonized over how to be perfectly fair with my time and my energy in each of these congregations. It was my first multi-point charge, and I was concerned that I needed to make sure that my time and attention were equally divided. It was something that I addressed each Monday morning and reviewed each Sunday afternoon. Had I spent equal time in each community, prayed the same number of prayers for each place, spent the same amount of time with the women's groups, the worship committees, the councils? And then my worry turned into angst when I realized that the congregations contribute different percentages to the operating fund. What would be a fair way to divide my time? By contribution, by need, by plan, by rotation, by what? What would be fair? I wished that there was some official, an expert maybe, an ombuds office of life perhaps, that would help me out with my mathematical equations to figure out fairness. I must have been obvious in my obsessive calculations, attempting to be fair, and certainly there was an internal logic to what I was doing, but it wasn't working so well. And then one day, the chair of the board came to me and said the most extraordinary thing. He took my hand gently and said to me, "Christine, you know, we don't want you to be fair to us. We want you to love us." Now, these congregations, these rural congregations, were filled with older brothers, the responsible ones, the ones who stayed home and took care of the churches. But they knew what this parable is about. And I was converted at that moment from a life that idolized fairness for fairness' sake to one that was oriented toward love, toward God's love. Now, this doesn't mean that fairness isn't important. Fairness is very, very important. But what it means is that there's something more important: love. Unconditional, no strings attached, given with no expectation of return, love. Love, the lesson that was so important that God came to earth as Jesus Christ and died on the cross so that we could finally understand and that the world would be changed forever. You know, we know from the story that that younger brother ultimately spends all of his inheritance on things that the neighbors would no doubt gleefully speculate about. And then he finds himself penniless, homeless, hungry, alone. And we hear that all at once he came to his senses and decided to go home. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran to him, not even letting him speak more than a sentence, calling to the servants to dress him in the family robes and start preparations for a grand feast, a homecoming celebration. But when the older brother found out, he stalked off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. He wouldn't listen when his father came out and tried to talk to him, and instead shouted, "Look how many years I have stayed here serving you, but you've never thrown a party for me. And this son of yours, who has thrown away your money, shows up, and you go all out with a feast." There was an internal logic to what the older brother was saying. He was right, really. He was right. And I have no doubt that the ombuds office would have ruled in his favor. But friends, God is not the ombuds of life. Thanks be to God, because here is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although life is not fair, no matter what we have done, no matter how far we have wandered, no matter how much we have squandered, God waits for us at the gate, eagerly anticipating the moment, the very moment when we begin our journey home, and offers us something that the ombuds office could never offer: a place where we are always welcome, no matter who we are, where a party will be started just because we've come home. And there's more. God promises us that there will be no rest until every last one of God's children has come inside to join the feast, because God has the same message for each one of us. Child, I want you with me always. Everything I have is yours. And friends, that's not fair. That's love. Thanks be to God. That's love. Amen.